Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, we're going to talk about the opening of Bing Bong's Sweet Shop at Pixar Pier at Disney California Adventure. We're going to talk about our favorite places to watch the fireworks at Disneyland, and we're going to have a construction update on what is happening and about to happen at Downtown Disney. All that coming up next from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, and from points around Southern California. This is the Disneyland edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is the Disneyland edition of the Diz Unplugged, episode 738 for the week of July 30th, 2018. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming to you from the Bob Varley Studio here in Orlando, Florida, I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by Diz Senior Content Director, Ms. Jackie Gailey.
Hi.
And out in California, our Associate Producer, Mr. Tyler Crouch.
Hi, everyone.
And the lovely Ms. Katrina Manzoni.
Hi, everybody.
And the lovely and talented Ms. Mary Jo Mulatto-Willey.
Hi, everybody.
So welcome to the show, everybody. Hope your week is off to a good start. And a couple things just before we get into our show. If any of you watched last week's episode of the Diz Unplugged, the Tuesday edition of the Diz Unplugged, the Walt Disney World edition, then you know that that show hit a milestone, 1,000 episodes. And to celebrate, we decided to do a fundraiser for Give Kids the World. Now, Give Kids the World is something that we've been passionate about and working to raise money for a number of years now. So we wanted to use that opportunity to come up with another reason to raise money for them. And we are trying to raise $100,000. And basically, we're looking for 1,000 people who are willing to donate or bundle $100 to donate to Give Kids the World. That equals $100,000. So when I say bundle, I mean, if you don't have $100 to donate, first of all, we'll take 5, 10, 15. It's all good. It's all good. All goes to the same place. All goes to a great cause. But by bundling, I mean, talk to your friends, your family, your coworkers. Ask them. Donate $10. Donate $5. Bundle that together to get that $100. That's what we're looking for. And as of the time we are recording this, which is Friday the 27th, we are at about $44,000 raised since Tuesday. So that is awesome. And thanks, everybody, for your support. But we would appreciate you continuing to help us out. We're trying to get to that $100,000 mark. So you can check out the show notes page on this show, disunplugged.com, or head over to our Facebook page, www.info.com. We've got this linked all over the place, but firstgiving.com is where we're doing this. If you just do a search on Diz Unplugged, you'll see the 1,000th show celebration. Yeah, my God, can you imagine 1,000 years? sometimes it feels like that. But you'll, and on the homepage of the Diz right there, you'll see a link, to it as well. So any help you can give us. And some people have been extraordinarily generous. We've had, you know, some people giving us $250, $500, $1,000. One family donated $5,000, which is just amazing to me. So any help you can give us, this is an amazing organization. This money goes directly to the mission. It's what I love about Give Kids the World. 5 cents out of every dollar donated goes to administrative costs, salaries, and things like that. The other 95 cents of that dollar goes directly to the mission of bringing children with life-threatening illnesses and their family into Central Florida to give them a week of normal, to give them a week where they're not. It's not about the doctors and the hospitals and all the things they can't do. The village likes to say it's a week of yes, where the kids get to do things they could never do otherwise, and that's where this money goes, is developing the campus so that these kids can go swimming, these kids can play in the water and do all these things. It goes to flying the family down here. It goes to building these beautiful condos that they stay in there at the Village that are fully set up to support any medical needs the kids may have. It goes to, theme park tickets and the food. These families don't have to pay a dime for this. They don't have to pay a dime. So we raise this money. For every $5,000 we raise, we send one family to the Village. So it's a great way for you to help us out in this cause. And I will stop talking about it, but I could go on and on about Give Kids the World. It's an amazing, amazing organization. GKTW.org if you want to check out more about them. And look them up. Don't take my word for it. Go see what they do. All right. With that said, boy, I'm like done now. I'm done.
Yeah, that really gets you going.
It gets me going. What's that?
I just wanted to add a little, just something really quick to that is, I've heard firsthand people who've gone there, and the impact that this week has on their family is amazing. They still cherish that time that they went there. And one comment you said that stood out to me that somebody said was, they had 1 week where they felt like a normal family. Oh. And we take that so much for granted that every time I think of that, it kind of chokes me up, because it just helps me appreciate what Give Kids the World does for people. And the fact that we can contribute and be part of that is just, I thank you for giving us that opportunity, because I think a lot of us wouldn't even know that we could do that for other people.
Well, that was one of the reasons that, I said I wanted to raise $1 million, because I knew it would take us a long time. Yeah. And it would mean having to talk about this organization over and over and over again with all the ideas we would come up with to raise that money. And I don't know if any of you believe in miracles, but if you don't believe in miracles, go read some of the stories of what's happened to families coming out of the experience at Give Kids the World. I'm not saying this happens with every single kid that goes in, but the number of times I've heard the story that a child went in there with a life expectancy of months and is still alive today.
Yeah.
Because amazing things happen when you give somebody a little bit of hope, when you give somebody that
spark.
That spark, exactly. Yeah. So I don't want to get too far into it, because I will get emotional too. But
I'm already getting there.
It's waterproof mascara.
Well, yeah, you need it. Yeah. But, it really is. It's an amazing organization. So help us in this goal. $100,000 we're trying to raise for Give Kids the World. So firstgiving.com, head out there, or the Diz, or wherever it is you find the link. And help us do this. So, all right, enough of that. First up today, we're going to talk about. I want to talk about the construction update first. It's not a different order on my script here, but I want to talk about the construction update first, because if anybody's planning a trip out to Disneyland right now, this is kind of a big deal. So, Tyler, Katrina, what do you got?
Absolutely. There's a lot of stuff going on. So first off, on like the last episode, we were talking about the construction update on the entrance to Downtown Disney from the ESPN Zone. And still, we're recording this on the 27th. And as of the 27th, it still remains that the Downtown Disney parking is still open by the ESPN Zone in between Rainforest Cafe. It hasn't moved yet to the AMC Theaters on the other side. And then the Salt and Straw is forming, and that is an ice cream shop that's happening. It's taking over Haagen-Dazs, right? Yeah, Haagen-Dazs.
Yep, Haagen-Dazs closed a couple months ago, and now they're finally starting to put the walls up, and they've got like Salt and Straw, logos out front and everything. So it's really starting to kick off over there.
The construction on the outside is doing really, really well. Wetzel's Pretzels is getting a new facade makeover, so it's not going to look like old tacky Wetzel's Pretzels like you would see in a mall. I think it's getting like a bigger upgrade, so it can kind of go along the lines of the modern look that they're trying to receive. Did you want to talk about Naples and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, over by Naples there, the restaurant, the Italian restaurant at the front of downtown Disney, it has really been just gutted. I mean, the whole entire thing is like completely destroyed, and the only place you can sit right now, they're open for business, but the only place you can sit is actually out on the patio and by their new bar. So that's the only place that they'll even let anybody go, because the rest of it is just completely destroyed. And the little to-go pizza place next door, the Napolini, that place is going to be getting an upgrade as well. So that's also closed. But what they're doing right now is they're letting you get to-go pizzas. They've set up a little counter on the outside, and now you can get your to-go pizzas right there. So anybody who's missing that, you know, it's still there. They set that up like last week that's the first time I saw it. So, but the cool thing about this whole renovation is that they're going to be getting a lot more seats too. So not only did they expand their patio, but there used to be this kind of patio section to the left of the restaurant up on the second floor. And it wasn't really ever used for anything. I never saw anything really go on up there. And so now you can see it in the concept art that they're going to build windows around it. They're going to make it inside. It's going to be an interior now, and they're going to have a bunch of new seats up there too. So I'm really excited to see how the whole restaurant looks, because I actually thought it was starting to look a little bit, I don't know, like 90s to me. It seemed outdated sort of in a way. I'm not really sure how to explain it, but
the character's gone off the top. What is it, like the
yeah, they used to have like a, I don't know. Yeah, like a jester,
like and a jester on top. They took that out because that was hideous.
Yeah, that was kind of scary. It scared me away from that place actually. But I mean, it's interesting too, because going back to like the AMC theaters, they've put walls all around one of the sides of it, and
Starbucks, where Starbucks used to be by the Disneyland Hotel side, it's all boarded up.
Well, over by the Starbucks and the Lego store, it's in between there, and they have boards there everywhere. So I used to think that when they were going to redirect traffic from Disneyland Hotel, it was going to be like, it was going to go around I don't even know what side of the, well, I thought it was going to go around the side of the movie theater where like they used to do rental cars, and they used to have Earl of Sandwich. And now I'm thinking that it might actually be happening in between there, in between the Lego shop and the old Starbucks, because I don't know what else they have the boards up over there for, I guess, unless they're just going to demolish that entire building, which of course they are. But it's a very small area, so I could see how if that's where they're going to direct traffic, it could be a congested issue.
And there's bathrooms right there too. So I feel like if people are waiting in line, they're going to go directly to the bathrooms the first times they see them, because there is a bathroom section right by the Lego store. So yeah.
I mean, that's just a guess.
This is just like a guess.
Yeah. But I'm not sure. It's kind of exciting to see everything happening so quickly. I mean, quickly for Disney standards anyway, over at the Downtown Disney, because I'm even excited for the burger place that's opening, the Black Tap Burgers and the Ballast Point. Those are going to be more towards the center of Downtown Disney, but you can actually start to see work on those things too. So
we haven't seen anything different on the outside, and it's hard to see on the inside, because I was like trying to peek through to see if I could see anything in between like the frosted cracks that they created on the windows, but I haven't seen anything yet, so who knows when that's going to open.
Yeah.
Well, I'm, you know, I didn't realize they were gutting the entire inside of Naples. I mean, I see the, but I love that restaurant. That's like arguably my favorite place to eat. Well, not now that I'm doing keto, because
pasta.
But yeah. Generally speaking, you know, I think Naples is great. But that patio and that bar out there look gorgeous. They did such a beautiful job with that. So if the interior is going to be as good as what they did there, I think that's going to be
awesome. Super fresh. It's going to have like really vibrant like whites and blues, and it's not going to be kind of like the old tacky Naples that you used to know. They're trying to create like more of a modern look, kind of like more of a, you know, fresh Mediterranean vibe.
Yeah, very sleek, modern. Yeah, so it should look really nice. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see. Yeah. I just, you know, one of the things I always loved about, you know, going out there, especially the last few years, is that, you know, because this is Walt Construction World out here. It doesn't matter where you go on property. It's all under construction. So it was really nice to go out there and then, you know, no construction's going on. but now they're paving paradise and putting up a parking lot, literally. And I still don't know what to think about this new hotel. I don't want to form any opinions yet because we really don't know a lot, other than that Disney themselves are saying that it's going to make prices at the Grand Californian look quaint. I don't know. I mean, it's not hard. Like right now, I'm getting ready to go out there next week, and I just had to extend my trip by 2 days. And looking at the prices at the Grand, the cheapest room I can grab at the Grand right now is almost $900 a night.
Oh my gosh!
So, and that's, you know, that's a premium view, but still, that's a lot of money for one night for a hotel room. And if that's going to be quaint compared to this new hotel, I don't know. All I keep thinking to myself is, what are you going to do if you're going to charge $1,200 a night? And I'm not saying they are. I'm just like kind of speculating here. But if you're going to charge that much,
I would see it.
What are you going to do? What possibly could take place in the course of me entering that hotel that is going to make me walk out feeling like $1,400 was worth it for a standard room? Go ahead, Tyler. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, though, that the amenities have to be amazing, because one of the reasons that I would pay extra money for the, more deluxe hotels in Florida would be because of the location, because I'm in, I'm going to stay at Grand Floridian. I'm right next to Magic Kingdom. Like, you know, I understand that a little bit more, but when it's just like, when it's like Disneyland Hotel is right behind this new hotel, you know, the location is really not as big of a deal. They're all on the same property. They're all right there. So the amenities just have to be spectacular, like you're saying, because I just can't imagine what you would want to pay, you know, for in that circumstance.
Well, there's
maybe a fireworks viewing.
I've heard speculation that it will have its own entrance into Disneyland Park for those guests and for Club 33 members. Now, again, total speculation here, folks.
I don't even know where that would be.
Yeah, because it's like right in the middle of like nowhere, really.
It's pretty Disney far away Park. From Disneyland.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. But I'm saying, just some of the things that I've heard floating around. So there's all this speculation. Disney really hasn't released a lot yet. But yeah, something magnificent is going to have to happen in that hotel to be worth what is being speculated.
Didn't they say that the monorail station is going to be in the new hotel?
I believe it is. It looks like from the concept art that it's going to be a part of that new hotel now, but yeah. I think it would be crazy of them to not let anybody but those hotel people use the monorail, because I mean, and that wouldn't make sense either, because they treat the monorail as an attraction in Disneyland. Yeah, in Disney right. World, in Disney World, it's much more of just a transportation thing, and in land, it's much more of like, hey, this is an actual kind of ride you can go on to and see the park. And so they're going to be cutting out all the people that want to ride it, you know, getting on Tomorrowland, want to do that round trip journey, you know?
Yeah.
So
I feel like it's going to be a big issue if they're only going to do it for the hotel guests. And then plus with ours, you have to sit down. You can't stand up at Disneyland.
It holds less people.
There's holds less people. And at Disney World, you can stand up or sit down, and then you can like pack more people in there. So if they're going to try to build this hotel and all the hotel guests want to use this monorail system, we're going to have big issues with like lines and everything trying to get on that monorail.
Yeah. One other thing I want to mention, we're talking about construction updates, is we should probably mention World of Color at California Adventure. Was supposed to be opened, was supposed to be ready to go with the opening of Pixar Pier, but there was a massive problem. Something broke, and weirdest thing happened. I was out last week for a sales event with Disney Destinations, and it was like about 11 o'clock in the morning, and they were doing a thing in the Lamplight Lounge, and which is right on, you know, the body of water where World of Color goes on, and something broke, and it looked like a high pressure line that would normally come to feed the water up had snapped, and it was whipping all around.
Really? In the middle of the water?
In the middle of the water.
Wow.
And it was nice. Now, and this was all travel agents and social media people. In this.
Oh.
And I'm like, how long before one of these guys goes out there to film this? And we didn't. We didn't film it. But it was like, and it went on. Like, they had to close all the windows and stuff, like close all the doors and windows in the lamplight, because it was so loud with this thing whipping around and hitting the water that we were having trouble hearing the guy that was like 15 feet in front of us giving a presentation. So they are having a lot of issues with World of Color right now. What we're hearing, end of the year before that comes back.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised at all if that doesn't get pushed back further. I
would agree with you, because from what I've heard, some pretty severe damage happened to it. The thing I heard originally ended up not being true, and now I've heard from a couple cast members that this thing kind of snapped in half.
Like, it
and
was like
the platform like kind of snapped
and it went
in half.
Like this into like the electrical room or some kind of room,
yeah.
And it like kind of ruined everything.
We're talking about tens of millions of dollars of damage to this thing.
And now you just said about that water. I'm like, oh boy, I don't know if it's going to happen at the end of the year.
So yeah, I think they're shaking in their boots a little bit. They're like, uh-oh, what? We gotta fix this, but it's so expensive.
We went out there, a couple days ago to see Bing Bong, and they had like a blue tarp around the middle section of where World of Color would be, like the middle fountains, where the fountains would be. They had them all boarded, like it had it, like the tarp all around it, and then there was like kind of no water in there. So that makes sense now when you were talking about with the problem that happened the week before that they're trying to fix it as fast
as possible. And that's the exact area where this high pressure line was like flipping out, because it was like in the middle of where all the jets are. So that's why we figured it must be one of the high pressure water lines that feeds those jets, because it was. At first it was really jarring, and I was like, are we okay? It's like World of Color going to explode and kill us all? Or, but, you know, we live to tell the tale. They'll probably make a movie of the week about it.
It would be a beautiful death.
Well,
oh my
no.
gosh, Tyler.
No, it wouldn't. But if it does for you, you do you. Okay. Let's move on. And while we're talking about California Adventure over on Pixar Pier, Bing Bong's is now open, and I will have a chance to check it out when I'm out there next week, but what I have been reading and hearing is not good. So Tyler, what did you think?
Yeah, so let me first start it off with what I thought it was going to be. I mean, obviously it's a candy shop, Bing Bong sweet stuff, and you know, from the way they were touting this thing, I really thought that we were going to see a lot of unique items. And just, you know, one of the things I heard from one of the Imagineers when I went for a preview was that they wanted to do unicorn lollipops that had cotton candy and you could get toppings on it, you know, similar to what they do over at Islands of Adventure. They have that they have the cotton candy over at Dr. Seuss Landing.
And that means Universal Studios.
Yeah. And so, you know, I thought they were going to have that sort of thing. And I thought, again, I just thought it was going to be a lot of unique items. And really what it turned out to be is kind of less of a candy shop. It's not really, it's got candy and some treats and things.
It's a mix.
But it's really just more of another merchandise shop. There's a lot of stuffed animals. There's a lot of T-shirts. And it's not like you can't find this stuff other places. I've seen a lot of the things that they put out, even in Disney World. So one of the unique things they have there, the memory refreshers, which are basically just an icy, you know, different flavor icies that they'll mix together and then they'll put nerds on top. That wasn't available when we went. It was apparently too hot. They had one of the shutters closed on the doors. So there's three entrances to Bing Bong's, and they had one of the doors closed, and we overheard some managers talking about it was too hot. The memory refresher was melting, so they couldn't even get it working.
Oh, no.
What's going on out there?
I don't know.
This place is not, it was not ready. And then I was overhearing, I was taking pictures, and I was overhearing managers talk about how the Taffy setup is, because Bing Bong isn't even ready yet. There's like an animatronic that's supposed to happen.
Right. I don't even know if it's an animatronic, but there's a big centerpiece.
There's this big centerpiece, and when you walk in, it's you know, has like a little curtain around it. And there's taffy underneath, like all types of taffy, but the taffy keeps falling off the shelves because there's no stopper. And so every time you walk by, you know, like just because of vibration, it just like slowly falls off. And so managers are like, we need to fix this. They're like, taffy keeps falling off. And so who knows, like we'll check it out when we go next week to see if they fixed it. And then I'm gonna get a little grossed out for
you
guys.
This is the worst part.
I was taking pictures of the taffy, and there were a line of ants. I'm not even kidding. Line of ants coming kind of over to the back wall. And it was just a trail of ants going down. And I kind of got grossed out because first I saw one or two, and then I bent down and looked under, and it was just
like hundreds.
It was hundreds. And then Tyler went to a cast member and told her, hey, you guys got ants. Yeah. And she seemed concerned, and then I feel like she told another cast member, and that cast member was like, and I was like, you're selling, and thank God it's like far away. It's like in the merchandise section, not near where like the candied apples and stuff are. But I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was really gross.
Why do you think, look, the narrative that seems to be forming around Pixar Pier, which I love, by the way, I thought they did a great job with it. I love the overlay. I think it's much better than Paradise Pier. But, you know, we talked about Lamplight Lounge and our predominantly my experience there, and how I, you know, basically felt and still do that it wasn't ready. It was not ready to open. There just seems to be a lot of that sentiment going around. Now you're talking about Bing Bongs, and it just doesn't seem like it was ready. Why was this rushed?
Maybe they didn't want to. I feel like they should have opened it like our guess is, like towards the end of August, because it would have been completely ready. But I think they wanted to push it because of how busy they've been during the summer. And towards the end of August, that's when their slower season kind of starts. So I feel like they just probably wanted to push it. And, you know, this Pixar Fest is supposed to end on September 3rd, rumor has it. But they might extend it now. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best reason they did it, because they wanted to have it ready for summer, and they wanted to have this big boom of people in the summertime. But it kind of is making them look bad to a lot of the locals at this point, and even people who come and visit there, you know, for the first time or whatever. It just makes it look like, you know, I expected this to be more ready. And I truly did expect more out of Bing Bong. I mean, I couldn't believe when we walked in and the big centerpiece, Bing Bong on the wagon, who's, I don't know, there's rumors he's going to cry candy or something. Like, you know, it's not even there. It's just they put a big, you know, construction wall with a drawn Bing Bong on it. And it's just kind of, or a curtain, I guess I should say.
Curtain.
And I'm just
it
like,
was a white curtain
how can you
day,
not
right?
have that ready, you know?
Yeah, it looks like a shower curtain. Like someone's just taking a shower in there.
Yeah, it looks, you know, I'm seeing pictures this morning online that it looks like it's different now. It looks like today they've got a purple, like an actual more official thing that's not a curtain. It's like more of an actual wall.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Oh, that's
because they've been shamed. Because they've been shamed.
Yeah.
Into doing something, because it looked like they took a bed sheet, put it up, had a kid draw Bing Bong around it, and then just the snout coming out from a cutout hole. It looked so cheap.
Yeah.
So I think they were shamed into doing something.
Into making something a little more permanent. Yeah.
Just the whole store just didn't seem. A lot of the candy you could find anywhere. Yeah. And then they even tried pushing just normal Disneyland candy that you can find, like lollipops, cotton candy, like all the other kind of stuff you would find over at like Marceline or something. And there's
so
like a little section
like the
of the specialty apples, which are pretty neat. And then Tyler tried a Wally cake pop.
I got a Wally cake pop, which tasted, to me, I liked it a lot. It was kind of like this sounds kind of gross maybe to some people, but it tasted kind of like an underbaked brownie, which I thought I thought that was a good taste. I don't know. I kind of like brownie batter. I kind of like cookie dough, you know? So
that's
to me,
how they're supposed
I
to
thought,
be.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Perfect. I, as far as I understand it, a cake pop is usually like pieces of cake that they mush together with frosting.
With frosting, yep.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we tried that, and you know, even after seeing the ants, we got a few treats here. We ended up getting confetti popcorn with Joy on the front, which honestly, I would consider this like it tasted like Fruit Loops to me. It's like Fruit Loop popcorn.
There is nothing wrong with that sentence. Mm-mm. There is nothing. Fruit Loop popcorn.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm in. I will cheat. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I will cheat on my diet when I go out there and I just to have Fruit Loop popcorn, and it better be good because if I'm going to come off keto for 20 minutes to eat that popcorn, Tyler, and it's not good, I'm coming after you because you're the one who said no. You said Fruit Loop popcorn. Now the expectation has been laid down. I'm coming for you if it's not good.
The only thing that we saw that was different is they have a lot of the Inside Out characters like themed popcorn, except for Disgust. She does not have a popcorn, and I don't know if anybody like doesn't want.
I guess
have
they
disgusting
didn't.
Popcorn.
Yeah, they didn't want to make disgusting popcorn.
But you know, I like that was like the only thing that I saw that she didn't have, and then there's a lot of these special.
So the other thing we tried too were these what are these sour strawberry belts with Mrs. Incredible on it.
Yeah.
And these were my favorite thing that we tried. We got three things.
He's completely wrong.
These are like, you know, if you like the sour kind of, if you like sour punch, you know, things like that, then this is for you. I really enjoyed these. I they're kind of addictive. I kind of keep on snacking.
And there's instructions on the back. It's fun to share.
But so now, nice. What's kind of disappointing me hearing about Bing Bongs is that, especially out in Disneyland, I mean, you guys have raised the bar on those kind of snacks, the candies and stuff like that. The really creative, incredible stuff.
Yeah. That Instagrammable
that come out. And I was really expecting this to be in that vein, that it was going to kind of raise that bar again, and this was going to be some like an evolution of that. At this location, and you know, I'm seeing a lot of prepackaged stuff.
Yeah,
I'll judge for myself when I go out there. But you know, from everything I've seen and heard, what
they have prepackaged taffy, like saltwater taffy, and we got the assorted pack, and they're fine. But thank God they're packaged, because if it was just freestanding taffy, we would have ants in it. So that would be gross.
Oh, okay. Well, there's that.
Yeah.
So I mean, honestly, as a candy shop, a sweet shop goes, I think this is one of the worst ones on property.
Yeah.
I would rather go to the trolley treats in the front of California Adventure, or even at Main Street at Disneyland. I'd go to that, you know, candy shop there too, because this is like a t-shirt and stuffed animal shop.
Yeah.
With like some treats on the side.
What is it, like Shania Twain song? That don't impress me much.
Yeah, basically.
There's nothing. It's just another way to sell stuff.
Good. Wow. So the Disney, like, they released some images of some of the stuff they were going to have, like Buzz and Woody cake pops and a really cute unicorn rainbow thing. They didn't have any of that when you guys went, huh?
They did not have the apple, the rainbow apple, or like the unicorn apple. They didn't have that in stock, but they did have, the only thing that's exclusive to Bing Bong sweet stuff is the Bing Bong apple.
With the pink, like zigzaggy kind of.
Yeah. And then also I think the unicorn as well, because
they didn't have the unicorn that day.
But the
thing that they're going to do is they had like Wally and Eve, and I haven't seen the Wally and Eve cake pops anywhere else. And the thing that they're going to do is slowly change those things over time, apparently. So after a while, it won't be Wally and Eve anymore. It'll be Buzz and Woody. And, you know, they'll keep on changing those characters out. So, you know, again, they had their little counter with a few extra treats in it. They had, like, an Incredibles Rice Krispie treat, too, which I'm not a big Rice Krispie treat guy. So, you know, that doesn't impress me much, like Shania Twain would say. But, you know,
there's the head going.
You know, I just it was really kind of underwhelming. We went expecting a lot because I've heard things about it in the past, about, you know, a couple extra treats they would have, and that was it.
Yeah, hopefully they have stuff and we can try the memory refresher the next time we come out. Because I've seen a lot of, I mean, Instagram pictures of the memory refresher, and it looks neat. I'm not a big sweet fan, but I kind of want to try it just to see the rainbow tears and stuff on it.
Mary Jo, have you had a chance to get over there yet?
No, I'm going to be going there tomorrow to check it out. But my expectations, knowing Disney, and I hope they really listen to everybody, is that they're going to bring it up to the same quality that over in Pooh Corner in Critter Country. That you go there, just like in California Adventure, you're going to the back of the park. So we should get something different. At Disneyland, we go to the back of the park. They have treats there that you can't find anywhere else. And it's not the same thing with the different sticker on it, like what I'm seeing with what Tyler and Katrina are showing. You can find these, the what he's calling the Fruit Loop popcorn and the taffy, different places, and they just have a different sticker. So I'm hoping that they really step up their game and bring us treats that make it worth going into that shop, because I don't hear anything right now that makes me want to stop there.
We'll share an apple with you, Mary Jo. I want to try the Bing Bong apple. I know it's going to taste the same because it's just chocolate, apple, and caramel, but it looks cute.
I will tell you that as part of our event last week, we each had a Bing Bong apple in our room.
And what did you think?
I did take a couple of bites, and it was awesome.
I bet it was.
It was really good. I did take a picture of it, but the picture kind of came out crappy, and I didn't realize how bad the picture was until I'd already started eating it, and I wasn't taking a picture of it with bites out of it. But
scarsome child.
That could be a whole story in itself.
Yeah, really. All right. So let's move on and discuss fireworks. Favorite places to watch the fireworks. I will tell you where I have a love-hate relationship with watching the fireworks on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the projections on either side of Main Street and on the castle and the fireworks, amazing, right? Amazing. But, like, okay, it's popular in World to watch it on Main Street, but you can, like, if you're further back on Main Street, there's not a lot. I mean, you're not crowded in. At Disneyland, it's, oh my God, it is this massive people crowded into this small area. And then when the fireworks are over, forget about it. It's insane how crazy the crowd gets. And, you know, you get some people trying to leave the park, some people trying to get into the park. And it's just absolute mass chaos. And I feel so bad for those cast members. But so I'm gonna talk to the we'll talk to the experts. And Mary Jo, I'm gonna start with you.
Okay.
Your what is your favorite place to watch the fireworks?
Main Street is my favorite place. I actually have three places, but I'll give two of them. Main Street is the best view, it's immersive. You're in the middle of everything because the fireworks, the way that they've evolved is they now have projections as well as fireworks. So there's a show going all around you. So if you're standing and you're going to scope a site out, remember this is a time investment because, like Pete said, it's wall-to-wall people, and people who have staked their spot are not going to let you come in at the last minute and say, oh, this is a good spot, I think I'll sit here. And another thing to keep in mind too is that there's walkways, and so you have to ensure that if you're going to find a good spot that you don't go someplace where they're going to tell you, oh, this is a walkway and you have to move. So I recommend talking to a cast member. But at the end of Main Street, where you have the photo supply shop and Coke Corner, or Coke Cafe on the two sides, make sure you can see the castle. Make sure that you don't stand as you're facing the castle, that you don't stand on the left side of the street, because the buildings will block the fireworks. They tend to go towards the left of the castle. They're also shown from the castle. They're shown, but the big fireworks are going to be left of the castle itself. So you want to make sure that the trees don't block you. You want to make sure that the building doesn't block your view. Once you get that spot, and if you can get a little bit inside Main Street where you can see the castle left of it and the projections that are going to be on both sides, that's the sweet spot. Thing is, a lot of people know about that. So you're either, like I said, have to really going to invest some time to go there, or if you want to really balance, you don't have that much time at Disneyland, you want to see the fireworks and you're okay to give up the prime spot for a still an awesome view of them, then it's a Small World Mall is another good place to see it, because there's also going to be projections on the It's a Small World facade. And for those who have not been to Disneyland, It's a Small World has a whole small palace, I guess, that's all in white mostly, and it's a beautiful background for the fireworks to be shown, the projections to be shown against. The thing about seeing it from that vantage point is you're going to be doing switches, because the fireworks are mainly behind Small World. You'll be closer to them, so it's more of an impact, but the show is also partly at the castle, and so you're going to be having to look behind you so you can see the surprise guests or the whatever character happens to be flying around that day. And a cool thing about the fireworks that we have at Disneyland that I'm not sure everybody knows about is that the cable is different, so the characters flying don't just go in a straight line. They go back and forth behind the castle, which is an awesome experience to see. But those are my two favorites.
All right. What about you, Jackie?
Well, Mary Jo kind of touched on my very favorite spot. And I love It's a Small World. So that attraction at Disneyland really holds a really huge place in my heart, because my mom was at the World's Fair in New York. So
mine too.
Yeah. And I knew that about you. And it just, I love that. I love it. So, I mean, she was a little girl. She talks about it. She visited Disneyland with her grandma. So once we had the experience of seeing it on Main Street, we wanted to just watch it from wherever. And we would watch it from back there, because the fireworks would shoot off from behind Toontown. So you really got a completely different vantage point back there. And the last time I was at Disneyland, they were not doing the projection. So it was different than it is now. And I'm sure that my mind would just completely explode into pixie dust if I saw it now. I would probably lose it. Because it sounds incredible the way Mary Jo describes it. But it's, to me, there's some kind of magic that can't be replicated when you see those carved shrubs and the fireworks and that gorgeous facade. There's just nothing like it to me. It's my very favorite. So.
All right.
Yeah.
And what about you, Tyler?
Well, I think Mary Jo kind of touched on my favorite spot, which is over by the Small World Promenade there. That is probably my favorite spot because of the crowds. And usually you can show up like right before the fireworks even start and get a good view of Small World and the fireworks. You know, Main Street would be my favorite spot if it wasn't for all the people there. But you know, another good one is also over by Fantasmic, the Rivers of America.
You took mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. But over by the Rivers of America, they do projections, they do lasers and lights on the water. So it all goes, it's like watching a brand new show, actually, with the fireworks, because it all goes along with, you know, everything that's going on. But they do the animations a little bit differently, and there's some different effects, like I said, so I think that's really cool. But like a secret little spot, and I wouldn't suggest this for the first time you've seen the fireworks. I would do this after you've already caught the fireworks like once or twice before. But over by Frontierland, where they're building the entrance to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, you can walk up to basically the entrance of that, and they shoot off the fireworks right behind that area. And so if you want to be right under these fireworks and like almost like so loud that it's like going to blow your eardrums out, not that loud, but it's kind of intense being right under the fireworks. And that's actually one of my favorite viewing spots, because it's very quiet over there too. And again, you can't see any projections. You can't see anybody flying over the castle, but there's just something about that area that is like, wow, the fireworks themselves are very impressive from that vantage point. So just right there in front of the entrance of Galaxy's Edge. And I'm guessing that once Galaxy's Edge opens, it probably is not going to be a great spot to watch the fireworks anymore. So that's like a limited time for you there. But But yeah, did you want to continue on yours?
So I love the castle. I'm going to say that all the time. So I would watch it at the castle. Main Street, like Tyler, is just so crowded. And also the castle is really crowded, but it's just something magical. If you've never seen the fireworks before or Disneyland fireworks before, it's just really magical to see the stuff flying, you know, the characters or whoever, what kind of theme it is going to be when you watch it fly over the castle. And then also I have to elaborate on the Fantasmic viewing section, because that was my favorite section, because as soon as the fireworks are done, you can run to a ride. You can run to Pirates. You can run to Haunted Mansion. You can run to Splash Mountain. It's just, it's wide open. As soon as it's done, you can go. Because if you're at Small World or all the other locations, you are stuck for a while. So that's why I love the Fantasmic section, is because of the lasers, and it's like a one-of-a-kind viewing spot, but also that I can go run and finish off my night with Pirates or what have you.
And it's like a two-for-one as well when you sit over by Fantasmic, because you get your Fast Pass or you do your dining reservations to get a Fantasmic viewing spot, and then you're ready for the second show right then. You don't have to move anywhere. You're ready to go. And actually, some people start leaving. So it's like, oh, okay, after Fantasmic's done, people are leaving. And then, oh, we can move up a little bit and get even a better view of the fireworks over here. So
yeah, I was surprised how good the view was of the fireworks from the Fantasmic viewing area. And because like they do the projections on Tom Sawyer Island, and so you kind of get that. It's a very different perspective, but, and as Katrina pointed out, and I agree, you're right there by Pirates, you're right there by Haunted Mansion, Splash Mountain, Winnie the Pooh, if you're so inclined, it's all right there. And that isn't nearly as congested as, somebody didn't turn her phone off. does not get nearly as congested back in those areas as it does out on Main Street. I mean, I've watched it from various points on Main Street, and like I said, you know, it is the best view, quote unquote. And if it's your first time, you absolutely have to do that. But for me, I'm going to watch it literally from anywhere else. I will watch it literally from, I'll watch it from the Esplanade. Before I'll stand in that crowd on Main Street. It is just too insane. But
I do have a couple of other tips for places to see inside Disneyland.
Sure.
For the fireworks. So if, like we're talking about, some of these places are really crowded, and they had a really good point about if you're at, it's a small world to get in, you're going to be fighting crowds. A couple of other really good places are right by the Mark Twain dock, which is still kind of the same area that Tyler and Katrina are talking about. But if you're not watching Fantasmic and you want a good view of the fireworks, that, or if you were standing in the back of Fantasmic, a good place for the fireworks is there, because you're gonna see a better show of the fireworks from that spot. Another good place is over by, it's in Fantasyland, and it's by Dumbo's Flying Elephants. If you go over there, what they do is they rope off Fantasyland. So for those of you who don't really know, because the fireworks are shot by the castle, they do not allow people in, let's say, the courtyard of the castle where you have the dark rides and the carousel. That's all roped off, so you can't go in there. If you stand behind that rope where the Dumbo Flying Circus, Flying Elephants are, you get a really good view of the fireworks. You get an excellent view of whatever characters flying back and forth. And then when they rope drop, you have a great chance to get on Peter Pan, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and the other attractions right there because you're so close. So if that's something that you have small children, you don't want to fight the crowds on Main Street, that's another good option.
Okay. There is one more spot that I thought of real quick too, just and I'll mention it really quick. I know. It's over in California Adventure, actually. And if you go and get a reservation to Carthay Circle at, say, 8:30, something like that, and you just are very nice to the hostess stand, and you say, please, can we sit on the patio? They pipe the music in on the patio up there, and you can get a pretty good view of the fireworks all the way over in Disneyland with the music at the same time.
And you
time.
Get an aerial view of the Paint the Night Parade if you get there at a certain time.
Yeah, so.
A dinner and a show.
Two shows if you're planning it correctly.
Okay, anything else?
I have one more.
If you go to my mom's house and get up on the roof And it's really clear out. Okay, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Thank you, guys. Thanks for that. Thanks, Jackie, for being here. And that will do it for this episode of the Disneyland edition of the Diz Unplugged. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back with you again next week. Have a great week, everybody.